Like I say, we appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here, the service today. If you're going to read with us, we're going to read some out of the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah and the second chapter of Lamentations. Going to start about the fifth verse, 28th chapter. Appreciate the songs this morning, and appreciate Sunday school. Just appreciate being here and appreciate having you that are here today. Just ask you to pray for us just a minute. Fifth verse, 28th chapter. Says, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink, and they are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, and line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Lamentations, the second chapter. We'll start with the first verse. How that the Lord covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger, and cast down from heaven unto the earth the beauty of Israel, and remember not his footstool in the day of his anger. The Lord has swallowed up all the habitations of Jacob, and hath not pitied. He hath thrown down in his wrath the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He hath brought them down to the ground. He hath polluted the kingdom and the princes thereof. He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horn of Israel. He hath drawn back his right hand from before the enemy. He hath burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devoureth round about. He hath bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand as an adversary and slew all that were pleasant to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. The Lord was an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed his strongholds and hath increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentations. He hath violently taken away his tabernacle as if it were of a garden. He hath destroyed his places of the assembly. The Lord hath caused the solemn feast and Sabbaths to be forgotten in Zion, and hath despised in the indignation of his anger the king and the priest. The Lord hath cast off his altar. He hath abhorred his sanctuary. He hath given up into the hand of the enemy the walls of her palaces. They have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of a solemn feast. The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line. He hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languished together. Her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also found no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth. The virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swoon in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is corn and wine?" When they swooned as the wounded in the streets of the city, and when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. What thing shall I take to witness for thee? What thing shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? What shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal thee? Now, maybe correctly reading, that's reading a portion of Scripture this morning, some out of Isaiah and some out of the book of Lamentations. And I just ask that you'd pray for us for just a minute. This morning we might be able to get ourselves out of the way and do that we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. There's some similarities in the Scriptures. You may think that both of them's talking about two different things, but Isaiah made mention over there, and he talked about the children of Israel. If you'll go to the first part of the 28th chapter, he said there's a woe. He said, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. He made mention here about a situation that the children of Israel had found themselves in. And I want you to think for just a little while. I've got maybe a little bit of a strange thought that we have this morning, but I just want you to think about that I've read to you. And the children of Israel and those of Jerusalem was that of God's people, His children. He had already put the kingdom, that of the earthly, if you'll have it, the earthly temple in that of Jerusalem, and He had already set His name in Jerusalem, and therefore he was caring about Jerusalem. The Bible says in another place that He made mention, He said, I've took that of a good seed, of the choicest vine. He said, and I planted it in the vineyard. He said, I've gathered all the stones out of it. He said, I took and hedged it in, and in the midst of it, He said, I put a tower. He said, when it come time for the fruit, I went to gather fruit, and He said, it was sour. No good. But then He asked a question. He said, what more could I have done unto this vine? What more could I have done to this vine? You go over in the book of Lamentations, and he makes mention here. A lot of folks thinks that precept upon precept and precept upon precept and line upon line was a good thing. But he wasn't talking about a good thing. He said, you've took that I've done for you and that the words that I've given you. And he said, you've just took it as precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. In other words, it meant nothing to you. You've just took it as that of precept upon precept. Now, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. Everybody knows that he loved that of the children of Israel. And they was in the same situation that Isaiah was talking about. Brethren, that they had done everything, my friend, against their God. The Bible says there in the 28th chapter, he said, you've taken that of wine and that of strong drink. Brethren, and in other words, you've took it past the line. I want to talk this morning just a little while. God being my helper, my friend, about staying in line. Staying within the line. Did you know that once you touch the line, you're out of bounds? Out of bounds. You can run with the ball. I preached a little bit the other night about running and about the crown. And the Bible says and teaches us that we'll all run. Brethren, but I'll guarantee you, you'll never get the prize unless you run lawfully. Lawfully. How many times have we seen the man with the ball, my friend, and he runs and he just keeps running, and he thinks he made a touchdown. But the old umpire's back there saying, not so, you're out of bounds. You're out of bounds. Cross the line, but you're out of bounds. Think about it. How important is the line? How important is the line today that God has given me and you? He's given us a line of judgment. Yes, he has. Bible says here, and I read it to you. He said, the wall of the daughter of Zion, he has stretched out a line. He has stretched out a line. My friend, and you younger folks, you know what a line is. Have you ever been told to color within the line? Color within the line. My friend, there's nothing that God loves better than to bless his people. But I'm going to be honest with you, brethren, we've got to stay within the line this morning. Yes! Glory to God! God ain't going to bless us unless we stay within the line of judgment. Preacher, you mad at us? Not a bit. Bible says, my friend, you'll find that Isaiah loved the children of Israel and he wept. He wept because of her situation. We got so many folks, brethren, out of the line today. Thank God they got used to it, my friend. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. There's a saying in the scriptures, and I tell you, I don't like to say this. I really don't. But the scripture says the children of Israel had got to the place, my friend, that they had committed adultery, and they wiped their mouth as they had done nothing wrong, my friend. We're living, thank God, in a world just like it this morning. Yes, we are playing within the line. You know, it don't count. The mark don't count. The running the base, my friend, it does not matter. Brethren, you can run every base on the baseball field, but if you miss one, thank God at the end, you'll be called out, my friend. Preacher, you talking serious this morning. It is serious. If it's not serious unto us, church, think about it. If it's not serious unto us, then who in the world's it going to be serious to? Brethren, I'm not just bopping my gums. I'm not just preaching, my friend, because I like to. Brethren, it's the Word of God. And we've painted too much out of the line. Can't tell what the picture is anymore. Did you know that the world wants you to be what you say you are? They are. They want you to be exactly what you say you are. Brethren, we've got folks, they used to once know how to paint. Yeah, they used to once, my friend, get fired up. Brethren, when it come time to go to meeting, my friend. Preacher, we don't like this kind of preaching. You ever thought, my friend, how a preacher feels when he has to preach like this? Huh? You ever thought about it? Brethren, it makes no difference. We're. I'm just going to say we're. My friend, we're amongst folks that pays no attention, brother, to the line anymore, folks. Something wrong. I'm just going to say this. There's probably not any of us sitting right here this morning that's got to care about us, that don't care that our number's no more than what it is. It ought to be. It ought to be. Now, I ain't preaching for number, but thank God it ought to be, folks. There ought to be a desire burning in your heart for people to enter these doors. You telling me everybody's right out there? Something's wrong. Something's wrong with a report card. Do you know that? Brethren, we used to bring one home about every 4 to 6 weeks. There, sometimes I was happy to bring that thing home. Then there was times, my friend, I really didn't want nobody to see it, especially my mother and daddy. I didn't want them to see it. You know why? Because it told them where I was at, what I've been doing. Brethren, if we made a report card and give it to you this morning, reckon what it looked like. Huh? I'm not being hard on you. I'm just telling you, folks, we've got too used to painting outside the lines this morning. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. These things, my friend, that God expects from His people. You don't believe, my friend, what God expects from me and you? You read that Old Testament. Read it. Brethren, you'll find out God cares what we're doing. Yes, He does. Did you know that God allows us, brethren, to just keep going on sometimes? The Bible says it's not His will that any should perish. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Cain and Abel, my friend, when Cain slew Abel, Cain was living in God's permitted will, but he was not in His accepted will. You hear that? Brethren, the Bible says that He drove him out. Brethren, for that He done. Why, preacher? Because they was a line. And Cain went over it. Yes, sir. Preacher, I didn't see no line back there. Now, I want you to know Cain knowed where that line was. He sure did. Now, I'll guarantee you, if you know anything about the Lord this morning, you know where that line is in your life. Yes, sir, in your life. Brethren, Amos, you've heard it many a time, but I'm going to tell you, brethren, that wall that Amos and them built over there, they built it by a plumb line. Thank God, and a man that was on top of it had a plumb line in his hand. Yes, he did. If you ever build anything, my friend, you'll start with a good corner. You know that? And if you don't get that corner square, every bit of it will be off. Yes, it will. Every bit of it. Why, preacher? Because it's on a line. It's on an angle of a line. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Brethren, you draw from that line this morning. Do we not? It ain't that we ain't got a line to go by. Preacher, I've heard preaching all my life, and I'm about sick of it. I got news for you. It's a line. That's a line. You know why a lot of folks don't read that? Because exactly, it's a line. It's a measurement. It's a tool, my friend. Yes, sir, and it's one that's precise. It's accurate. Yes, sir, it's accurate. Preacher, we can't live like that today. Brethren, you've been deceived this morning. Yes, you have. I can't help what people tell you. I can't help. I know I have a little bit of a difficulty with this a lot of times when people, parents mostly, my friend says that they can't, don't know what to do with their children, and they afraid, my friend, of this and this. I've got news for you. Bring them within the line. Thank God it'll help them. Amen. It don't matter if they're 15-year-old or 50. Amen. It'll help them. It will help them. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you something? I don't even care if the job that you're on, if you really don't like working and doing what you're doing, did you know that you'll be less productive? Yes, sir. You'll be less productive. Well, I don't like this job. I hate this job. Huh, I'm going to quit and find me another job. You ever heard that? Huh? You ever heard that? You ever heard people, my friends, you work with, well, I'm just quitting. I told one day, you better just go on. Huh? Yeah. Did you know there are certain employers, brethren, if they know that negative attitude's out there, they'll get rid of you. Yes, sir. They'll get rid of you. They really, really, we don't want people working here if they ain't happy. Do you know that? Why, preacher, that's work. Is it not the same thing at the house of God? Aren't you happy? Thank God, ain't you glad to be here? Glory to God. There's no place in this world that you'll go that they ain't some kind of rules, my friend. Amen. And you'll abide by the rules. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You punch in 1 minute after six, my friend, you're tardy. I got called into the office one time about punching a punch clock. Yeah. Randy, you can't punch in before six. We paying you for not being here. I said, that's one thing I want to do. I said, now I punch in, I'm on the clock. I said, but if you want me to punch in at six, I'll punch in at six. Huh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why, preacher, why would you do something like that? Thank God, I was glad to have a job, my friend. And I did like it. I did. I'm glad to be here this morning. Ain't you, Leroy? Yes, sir. I ask people all the time how they doing. Well, I'm here. Are you? Are you? Are you really? Are you really here? Preacher, I'm going to be the best man on the baseball team. Well, the best man on the baseball team, my friend, he gets a hit every now and again. You know that? You don't strike out all the time and make the team. You ain't going to be in the field, my friend, if you drop a ball every time one comes to you. No, sir. It don't work that way. They don't play people, my friend, that don't catch the ball. Imagine that. They don't play people all the time, my friend, that stays out of bounds more than they do in bounds. Yes, sir. There's no way, form, or fashion. I'm just going to be plain with you this morning, folks. My friend, there's nothing. You say, preacher, it's my own business what I do. Do you know what? We're living in that kind of world, and my friend, it stinks this morning. You ought to think more of yourself than that today. Yes, sir. I know. You say, I know. I know. You've already marked me down, boy. We're gonna take care of this preacher. Listen, you don't think I understand and realize how things really work? I'm going to be honest with you, just as honest as I know how to be. I made a statement one time years ago, and I was young. I was a young preacher, young pastor. We had an elder pastor. The pastor that was pastoring the church right before me, he come to me and he said, Randy, he said, I haven't got anywhere at the moment on my heart to go. He said, if it won't bother you, I'd just like to come here. I said, you just come, mine Lord. Huh? Didn't bother me a bit. Huh? Didn't bother me a bit. I didn't have jealousy in my heart, and I don't think he had any in his heart. It was a help. Yes, it was. I run across something one day, and I spoke it out. I was eager. And I was ready to go. Brethren, the Bible says this right here, and I'm going to tell you something. It says, let not thy mouth cause thy sin, thy flesh to sin. Let not thy mouth cause thy flesh to sin. Brethren, what comes out of that mouth, my friend, sometimes ain't the right thing. It might sound good, but it ain't the right thing. Wasn't the right thing to say. I made mention of one certain thing. I did, and it was concerning me. And I said, I just didn't need this and this. At the end of that service, here come this elder preacher. He shook my hand. They said, Brother Randy, he said, I love to hear you preach. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, I understand a little bit about what you said, but he said, you're going to learn a thing. That's all he said. That's all he said. It took me a while to figure out what he was talking about, but you know what? He was right. Huh? He was right. He was absolutely right. Listen to me this morning. I may not be. Did you know I read unto you? Unto the children of Israel, unto his own people, it said, the Lord has become as an enemy. As an enemy to the house of Israel. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame, folks. Are we going to let the rest of this world rule us? Are we? We're going to let this world, my friend, drag us down? Are we? Well, preacher, they got so much out there today. I don't care what they got out there. It doesn't matter. I believe with all my heart. Now, I come up through some things. And the truth of it is, some of the things I come up through really helped me. I had no clue. I was around some things in my early years, brethren, that was just common. Just common household gossip. Certain things done, my friend, that just nobody thought nothing about it. Nobody said anything about it. Now you can't make me believe. And this is the reason why. You can't make me believe, brethren, that God can't change a person's heart. He can change a young person's heart. Yes, sir. He can save a young person that person absolutely has a zeal for the Lord and everything about him. And that zeal, my friend, will keep them out of the things of the world. Do you hear me? If you've ever been a parent, you know, my friend, that you have to trust that your teachings, you have to trust that your teachings of them children, my friend, when they are away from you, you have to trust that they'll lean that away. Huh? You have to trust that. Truth of it is, you don't get a second chance. You know that? Well, preacher, this and messed up and that messed up. You know what turned them? They realized something. They realized something. It wasn't them whippings I got all the time, my friend, that straightened me out. It didn't straighten me out. It didn't stop me from doing some of the very same things. I was just hoping I didn't get caught. You know? Just hoping. You say, preacher, they used to preach hell, far and all, and damnation and all this. I got news for you. I can hammer you to death. And brethren, it won't change one thing until your heart gets changed. I know what I'm talking about. Preacher, they was raised right. Well, I tell you, don't use it as a cop-out. Just pray for them. You pray that remembrance comes back. That's what you do. You pray, thank God, that all them teachings that you've given them, there's no guarantees, folks. No guarantees. Had a preacher friend put his son in. I don't know, and I'm just telling you facts, just facts of life. Put his son, my friend, into Christian school. And as all this based around him wound up, and he got the teacher pregnant. Listen. Listen. Preacher, you need to talk about things like that. Folks, if it's in their heart, you go have to change the heart. Oh, it'll never change this morning. I know some of the, well, preacher, I wouldn't make mention of things like that. I got news for you. This book right here tells you the good things, and it'll tell you the bad things as well. You hear me? You know what happens? People get out of the line. People go across the line. They don't do them things in the line. They do them across the line. Do you know that? The line. If you've ever played tennis, my friend, and you get a hold of a good opponent, my friend, they've got to stay within the lines. Do you know that? If they ever score, they'll be in that line. Do you know it? Yes, sir. And if it hits that line, if you've ever watched any, somebody said, "Bulk, don't count. Don't count." Did you know that you can't go out of bounds and get back in bounds and play the play? Can't do it. Huh? It does not work. Folks, we've lived, if we ain't out of line, we're living so close to the line, we're leaning the wrong direction this morning. Wrong. Preacher, I'm just one person. How many does it take to witness to one more person? How many does it take to witness to one more person? We got more than 51 here. We had 51 in Sunday school. Had 73 last time they recorded Sunday school. 22 missing. Out of a group of 51, we would have had 22 more. Preacher, I might as well preach it all, hadn't I? I might as well just get on to us all. My friend, we've played too long round the boundaries. Round the boundary. I've played a lot of ball. I played basketball. You'd go over yonder to Chattooga, Somerville over there. We'd play, my friend, and on the sides, they didn't have no sideline. I'm not lying. The building wasn't big enough. They put too many bleachers in. So when you was on the bleacher, you was out of bounds. Huh? The first one. You had to play real tight. It tightened up the line. Preachers, they had to have it a certain width. And they done it, but brethren, they didn't have that much room to throw the ball in. Yeah, out of bounds. You hear me? But it felt like the lines had drawn in. You know, people a lot of times go to the house of God and they just feel cramped. I know what I'm talking about, folks. I don't know why I'm preaching like I am, but brethren, there's a line of judgment. There's a line. And you want to know if it's straight? It's straight. You read that book right there. There's been people all their life tried to disprove this book. They ain't done it yet. You hear me? These people spent their lifetime trying to disprove what's going on within the chapters of just the King James Version. And they've come up with every version in the world. It ain't changed that one. It hadn't. Has not changed it. Not one bit. Not one iota. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come down here? He come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did he not? Brethren, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know about you. But I'll go back to parenting. My friend, there was things in my house that was under my roof, and there was three of them. Yes, sir. And as long as they was under that roof, Robert, they was going to abide by Daddy's rules. Huh? Right or wrong? Right or wrong? I've told you before, had one done come 18-year-old, me and Kathy, well, I believe we was up here. Went home one day, and there's a big old letter on the door. And in that letter, she began to talk about how she couldn't do the rules no more. She is grown. Yeah, gone. Left. Broke my heart, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it broke me. Yes, sir. But I didn't stop right there. I got the checking around. And I got the searching around. And I found. Run across a mother that she was with her daughter. And this mother come out there just to yeah-yeah. Leave them alone. They're 18. Let them do what they want to do. I said, sister, I was polite as I could be. But listen, I told them, I said, just do one thing. Tell her to call me. That's all I care. Just tell her to call me. She called me, my friend, and I told her, I said, Dodie, I said, one day you'll leave this house. And I'll help you move. Yeah. I'll help you move. I said, don't leave like this. You know what? She come back. Come back, stayed another couple of years, come time for her to leave. I helped her move. Huh? Bye. Preacher. Preacher, Lord, not me. Why shouldn't it be? Don't you think that God loves you this morning? Don't you think that God cares for you this morning? You know what He really wants for you? Listen to me. The pastor of God, brethren, is better than the pastor of the world. Amen. You kept better. You're fed better. You sleep better. Hey, I know. I know what I'm talking about. You get out of bounds, you can't even sleep good. You jump at every boot. Huh? Yeah. Lying. He stood on a wall with a plumb line in his hand. And they built that wall, brethren, by the plumb line. Yes, sir. And I'm going to be honest with you, that wall's still standing. You may not have it. Brethren, there's a line of judgment put in the midst of Israel. That's what Jeremiah said. He said he stretched out, what? On the wall? He said he stretched it out by a line. God loves you. God cares for you. Now I'm going to be honest with you. If you want blessings from God, if you want God to visit you, if you want to be one of the happy campers, thank God, stay within the lines. Come on, Brother Mike, get a word for us home. Let us stand.